Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Eisenhower. I'm the CEO and founder of ICC, or Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC is one of the largest real estate coaching companies in the world, with thousands of clients and a large team of the most accomplished coaches in the industry, who coach many of the highest producing real estate agents, teams, and broker owners in North America. I'm lucky enough to be a best-selling author myself, with over 10 books published, and I'm frequently a keynote speaker and presenter for many of the largest real estate companies in the world. I've spent my career creating training materials, courses, and other coaching and training content dedicated to transforming the real estate industry and real estate agents that work within it. You can find more content on my website, the world's leading production training website for real estate agents, at therealestatetrainer.com. That's therealestatetrainer.com. Now on this podcast, I'll share tips, success stories, and training for agents and brokers looking to increase their business income while maintaining a balanced life. So whether you are a new licensee, a solo agent, a real estate team leader, or maybe a team member, a broker owner, or a manager, you are guaranteed to learn something new on each and every podcast episode. We talk about the big problem in a low inventory market, okay? Which is the best market to be in. So we're trying to find problems in a hot seller's market, okay? And the biggest glaring problem in a hot real estate market is there's just not enough listings, right? There's not enough property for us to show. We need more inventory, okay? So what'll typically happen is agents will become consumed with this problem. And we will then start to embrace this lack of inventory problem as a reason for us not having to work. Well, there's nothing to sell anyway, so I don't need to make my calls. Well, why am I going to call my SOI? There's no property to show. Well, why am I going to follow up with my buyers or nothing to even show them? Oh, there's no inventory. If there was only inventory, you know what I mean? And that's what we do. Well, that's what lower producers do. It's not what top producers do. Okay. Because what will happen to this lower producer, they might have three buyers that they know absolutely want to buy a house, but we haven't been able to find them anything. And there's nothing for sale that they haven't seen that fits their criteria at all. So we're stuck. And we got three buyers, but we got nothing to show them. So we just sit here stuck, blaming the market and the lack of inventory. Frustrated. Guys, do not get here. You cannot control whether inventory hits the market or not, really. I mean, I guess you could convince somebody to list early or something. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to swing the difference for your buyers in your entire MLS. So you can't control that. You can't run around and create inventory for your three buyers. You can't go door knocking, trying to find inventory for you. I mean, the odds of that happening, finding the property that fits, it's crazy. But what can you control? Anybody guess?
I'm going to say our attitude and activity.
Oh, yeah. That's it. But keep going. You got to go more than that to get the right answer.
Our prospecting.
Oh, yeah. I like that. You're getting warmer. You can control your three buyers. You can make it 10. Does that make sense? Because if you had 10 buyers right now instead of three, the likelihood that you'd be writing an offer for one of them this week is actually pretty high. In fact, the likelihood that you're writing an offer every meet, if you could hold 10 active buyers, is pretty high, because now you've got 10 buyers looking for 10 different houses. You increase the odds that there's going to be inventory for at least one of them. So in the meantime, you'll write more offers if you have more buyers. Are you with me? So top producers know that when you're in a low inventory market, you don't worry about the inventory. You can't control the inventory. What you worry about is your buyer pipeline,
you worry about getting your buyer pipeline higher because you're going to have to carry about three or four times the amount of buyers to do the same amount of buyer side business in a low inventory market, because some of them are just going to have a hard time finding properties. So you need to have more of them. And it won't be hard for you to carry 10 active buyers. It's not like it's going to be a lot of work for you. It's not like there's any property for you to show them. Three active buyers with a decent amount of inventory, you might be busy. You're showing property all the time to these people. But when there's low inventory, there's not much to do. You can handle more buyers. See what I'm saying? In a low inventory market, it's really easy to control their mindset too. It's real easy. Oh, you want that house? Go 10,000 over all cash or you're not going to get it. Like, it's real easy to create motivation. There's already 15 offers on it. You know what I mean? It's not like you don't have time to go back and look at it again. You know, it's already gone. So it's actually really low amount of time you spend per buyer if you're doing it correctly in this market too. So we try to grow the buyer inventory. So now let's say I've got 10. It doesn't just help me right now, because yes, I'm going to be putting more under contract right now with my 10 than you are with your three. But then don't forget, the wave is coming. There is a huge wave of listings coming every spring. Who's going to make more money? The guy with 10 buyers when the wave hits, or the guy with three buyers when the wave hits? So right now, you're putting food in the pantry. You're storing up to get through the winter. So when spring comes, you're ready to go. Bring me my inventory. Well, I got your buyers. Here we go. And now you're going to put a ton under contract. And you'll put some in the meantime too, because you're just carrying more buyers. Guys, the same thing's true with sellers in a buyer's market. We go back to 2000. For those of you who haven't been in a buyer's market, you go back to 2008. For you to do the same amount of business in 2008 than you did in 2004, an agent that was used to carrying 10 listings at all time would have to start carrying 40. So when we go to a buyer's market someday, which we will, I'll tell you, you need to carry 40 listings because only a third of them are going to sell. It's a buyer's market. Many of them will not sell. So you have to carry a lot more of them to generate the same amount of commission income. Don't worry, you won't be busy. It's a buyer's market. Not like buyers put offers on anything in those markets. You don't have like 10 offers on a property in those markets. It's actually a lot easier to carry more. Make sense? Same concept in a seller's market. You're in a better market, a seller's market. Now you got to carry a lot of buyers.
That might be one of the more clarifying statements about the market that we're in that I've heard in months. And I because I'll be the first to admit, oftentimes, you know, there's this counterintuitive advice that you give immediately. It's like, inventory is low, go get listings. Go get listings, right? That's the knee-jerk reaction.
It's I agree with that too. Yeah, that's important too. Yeah,
yeah, it is. But what you're saying is that, you know, currently, I mean, actually, one of the strategies that's kind of under the rug that we don't really think about is in a buyer's market, go get more buyers, right? Like that. That's a fascinating. I don't know. I just that was impactful, and I feel sorry for the hundreds of people who did not make this this mastermind today, because I think that this is really important. It's teaching us how to think clarity.
Cool. Yeah. And that's, I mean, and you know, what I teach it to my coaches, and then our clients that are team leaders, I teach them to teach it to their agents, because we got to spread this, because this is just a decision you make in your head. So stop griping and start worrying about things you can control, which is your pipeline. Does that make sense? As simple as that. And you have to remind yourself of that constantly. Like, that's my job, so I don't have to remember it so much. But if it wasn't my job, I'd need someone to remind me. So that's what we have these conversations for. Spread the word, man. Tell a friend. Refocus. Don't worry about the inventory market. Yeah, it's freaking January. It's going to be low inventory. But get ready. Things are about to change real soon, okay? Let me give you some tools to help change it. Would that be? Thank you, Albert, by the way. I'm going to give you a couple tools here to help you change that, okay? So when you are calling your SOI, like Greg said to do, and Greg is right, when you hang up, just start freaking calling your SOI. Check in, see how they're doing. That's it. I don't even really care what comes out of your mouth. We've talked so much about what you should be saying to your SOI. It does not really matter. Just check in on people right now. I mean, that's enough. We've got COVID. Everybody's all freaked out. there were people invading our capital. Like right now is just a good time to check in on people, you know, like, hey man, everything all right? Other than the usual crazy, you know? So I would probably be, you know, right now, never been an easier time to do it. And when you do start doing that, you're going to start bumping into people that are doing what Greg suggested. They're going to start saying, you know what? We were thinking about it. That's funny. We were just talking about it over the break. And when that happens, what do we do? Okay. What do we do? So I want to start shifting just for a brief minute and talk about some buyer lead scripts that we can use to start to convert people from our sphere of influence, or it could be a Zillow lead or an online lead or any type of lead for someone we don't know, believe it or not. These will work, you know, these type of methods will work for anybody. Okay. So with that said, I'm going to show you a couple of tools and then I'm going to talk to you about some ways to use them. Okay. So first up, I want to show you, this is a fillable form. So yes, it can be digital and you can type things into it. And basically these are things I would always have handy even before the internet. These are things people had printed on their desk. So if we did talk to someone, we knew all of the questions we would need to ask somebody about what they're looking for in a home when they buy it, right? So I'm going to blow it up a little bit here. And other than the general information about their contact information, we're basically going to go into a series of questions that have been kind of laid out creatively by me in a particular order to find out everything we need to know to get through all of their objections to us representing them in finding and purchasing a home to buy. Okay. Look at the first thing I ask. Have any other agents shown you homes? Have you, in other words, have you started looking yet? I'm trying to isolate right away. Are you working with somebody else? Do I have to compete for this? Right. Is anyone buying the home with you? Who are the clients? Who's my decision maker? Are you the decision maker or not? I don't want to start trying to work with you when it's really your husband that's calling all the shots, or your wife or something. Right? Are they renting or do they own a home? Why do I ask that question? Nothing is as it seems, right? Why do I ask this question? Don't worry, I am, for those of you that are trying to take us, I'm going to give you this sheet of paper here, I promise. It's going to be in the chat room. I do love that when you guys take photos of the screen though. It makes me feel important, like I'm giving value away. Maybe just do that every now and then. Basically what I'm trying to find out is, do you have a home I can list too? Do you own a home? Oh, Yahtzee. Now I got to sell one too. So notice if they say yes, boom, I'm going to move to that seller lead sheet. Why? Because if someone says I have a home to sell first, I'm going to pin my ears back and go for the gold, which is the listing. Always more important the buyer side. So I'm going to start talking listing, right? So that's why I'm asking these questions. They are all designed to unearth the real important stuff, right? When do you want to be moved by? What's that talking to? Buyer urgency. How much of a hurry are you in? How fast do you want to go, right? How long is it going to be till I get my money, my commission money? Are there any negatives to not moving by then? What happens if you don't move by then? More buyer urgency, right? This is pleasure and pain. Here's the pain. What happens if you don't get moved by then? Tell me all the pleasure, all the reasons why you want to move. These are your motivators. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank your motivation to move? More on the motivation. What do you think the most important thing to determine when you're listing a property is? Seller motivation. That's why there's so many questions about it. Where do you want to go? Cash or mortgage? General stuff like that. Okay? All the way through. Now, so I'm going to pop this in there. I'm also going to switch you over to the seller lead sheet while I've got you here. Seller lead sheet's not much different. Same thing, speaking to other agents, how's your motivation? Tell me about the house, the priorities, what happens if you move, what happens if you don't move, what's your timeline, all those types of things all the way through. And you're going to fill it out and have that for them. We're going to learn so much about them and you are going to look so professional compared to most other agents who really did not know what questions to ask. I would say it's like one out of every 30 agents that uses a lead form or a lead sheet like this. And that's why agents oftentimes don't look so professional. I mean, think about it. If you went to a doctor's office and they didn't like take your blood pressure and check your pulse and stick wood down your throat and shoot, you know, lights in your ears and up your nose and all that stuff. Like, I expect this litany of stuff to happen because I expect my doctor to be thorough and professional and not make sure that something else is wrong that I don't know about and misdiagnose me. So I expect the professional to be thorough and know more about what he needs to know for a diagnosis than I know. I'm not a doctor. Same with real estate. Act thorough, be professional. You'll compete at a higher level for their business. They will be impressed with you. This is not you interrogating them. This is not you bothering them. This is you showing off. You want to know buyer lead scripts, seller lead scripts? Ask a bunch of questions to find out about their needs, their motivation, and their best interests. Just ask the question. That's the script. There's a whole bunch of them right here. Make sense? It's real easy. Start asking questions. They'll tell you everything you know. By the time you get to the bottom of this page, you're going to know everything you need to know to represent them. Okay? So I'm gonna switch gears because I want to kind of show you a short form of this, of the lead sheet, that if you don't have a lead sheet handy, you can still kind of achieve the same lead conversion scripts when someone tells you they want to buy or sell a home. And this is going to be a very, and I promise you, both of those two lead forms are going to go into the chat room. So you will be able to download those in just a few. And it's an old concept. See, back in the day, before the interwebs and the information superhighway, we had this thing called floor time. Okay. Where what they would do is old school brokerages would say, hey, we don't want to pay for a receptionist. So what we do is we let our agents sit at the front desk. And when phone calls come in off of signs or advertisements, the agents at the front can pick up the phone and try to convert these leads. And boy, did this create drama. Oh, I mean, it was a dark period for real estate. Why? Because some of those leads were coming off of other agents' listings. And you can just imagine, you know, oh, good stuff. So yeah, I you know, back in the day, I'd have to diffuse some of those things and that was no fun. But regardless, those agents were usually the newer agents that would take floor time. So they didn't really know what they were doing. And they'd go up to the front and they'd say, well, I don't know how to convert these leads. So you'd train them. And what you teach them is a thing called LP Mama. Anybody heard of LP Mama? Okay, well, let me show you what LP Mama is. LP, so this is old. It still works to this day. It still works to this day. All right, so we're back and we're going to go to LP Mama and we're going to go into one of my script booklets. We'll also refer to them as qualifying questions. Okay, qualifying questions. So LP Mama right here, see my highlighter? Don't worry, I'm going to put this in there too. LPMAMA. I didn't make it up. Don't blame me. You'd think they could have done a better job with this. It's been around for a long time though, 40, 50 years, for sure, 40 years. So the questions, that's location, price, motivation, working with another agent, mortgage, and appointment, transition to appointment. That's LP Mama, okay? So basically, in a nutshell, this is the topics around the questions that we need to ask. We need to ask them questions about location, price, motivation, another agent, mortgage, and the appointment. All three of those. So if you don't know what to ask, you don't have a lead form. If you go through my lead form, you're going to see, oop, there's location, there's price, there's another agent. They're all there. I've got them all hidden in there in no particular, well, in an order that I felt was good. Here are different ways, and here are like six different ways that you can ask the location question. Because they're going to usually call you and say, hey, Philip, hey, tell me about that house. Is it still available on 123 Main Street? And then Philip's going to be like, okay, yeah, let me pull that up for you. You said 123 Main Street? Okay, great. Hey, when I'm pulling that up, Quick question. Is that the area where you're looking for homes right now? Are you looking at any other areas? Yeah, I just about got it right now. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to actually email you a link. What's your email address? Oop, just got that. Got that contact in, got that email, right? And while I'm pulling it up, I'll say, okay, curiously, are you working with any other agents? Have you looked at any other homes yet? Now I've gotten to that one. I've got another agent and location knocked out. So some of my LP mom is good. I'm just still pulling up what they're asking the question about. See what I'm saying? We can get into price. That home that you called on is listed at $450,000. Is that the price range you're generally looking at? Have you looked at any homes less than that, more than that? What's your window? See what I'm saying? So LP mama is floating around in my head. And if I'm on floor time 30 years ago, sitting up front, and I got to move quick, and I don't know what questions to ask, LP mama. That should just jump in your head. LP mama. Why not? Does that make sense? So these are going to be five or six different ways that you guys can ask every LP mama question. So this layers right on top of the buyer lead sheet, because if we go to the buyer lead sheet, here's all the LP mama questions lined out. You can tweak them and ask them any way you want. But I know that if I knock out all the biggest objections are LP mama. Buyer objections are always not the right location, not the right price. I'm working with another agent. I'm not ready to buy yet. That's motivation. One of these is their objection. If we can take care of all of LP mama, it's green light, go forward.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch my training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or join our Facebook called The Real Estate Agent Roundtable. Thanks again.